This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I see the ranking lists are out. Barry, for the top 20 in all the grades?
They are. So that is at the end of January. I think our correspondent, Ross Longley, might have had a bit to do with that. He asked if he could get them in just for the intermediate and juniors. And Jack James, who produces them, said, here, have the lot.
Good on you, Jack. Thank you, Jack. And I hope you had a happy birthday just the other day. Our friends, the Fishers, are heading the list. Lizzie's topping the women's with 26.64. And Fnusha Wen is snapping at her heels with just under 23. And Blair Fisher is heading with 26.64, of course. And Richard Solomon is coming in at second with 23.26.
So there's the top 20 in the Gold Grand Masters. Russell Wilson is just ahead of Blair. He's got more B points, so Russell Wilson's actually leading on master points. Silver Grand Masters, Sarah Green is leading.
Local Masters is from Palmy girl Maxine Key. So Ross is coming fourth at the moment in Local Masters. Good boy, 10.85. That's not too far away from 12.63.
Grand Masters, Kevin Hu is leading. Life Masters, Zachary Yan is leading. And National Masters, Phil Revel is leading. Masters, Justine Hart is leading. And Provincial Masters, Jesse Pellinato is leading. Enya Hodges is leading the Club Masters. And Neville Mercer is leading the Certificate of Proficiency. And Novices being led by Stephanie Chan from East Coast Bays.
Well done, Steph. She's been playing with your dad, Freddie. Very good.
Okay, so not much bridge on this weekend. I was talking to Blair at one stage. He was going a bit stir-crazy. He had no results to look at, nothing to follow. Not too sure there's much on this weekend either. Been very quiet the month of February. In fact, talking to Blair Fisher, who plays everything that moves, he didn't have anything booked in until the 28th of February.
No, I said to him,
I just don't believe that he's not going to play any bridge from the 1st of February to the 28th of February.
Well, the big one on the weekend was the regional champs for Auckland.
That was the trials they were having. But the problem with that was you couldn't follow any results anywhere. I understand the only place you could see it was somebody put something on Facebook, but there were no results up anywhere. You couldn't actually follow them. Nobody really sort of knew what was going on. Of course, they only had trials for the intermediate and the women's. I understand the open and the seniors were both selected.
Right, okay. Well, the women's were won by Cheryl Windsor and Jane Stearns, and second was our friend Kinga Hajimasi and Carol Richardson. And the intermediate, Susie Halls played with Jacinda Manconi, and Heather Robertson played with Dennis Watkinson. And
they were first and second in the trials.
Yep, in the trials. So Heather Robertson actually featured in last year's regional champs for Auckland down in Palmy.
If you were desperate to look for some results, I think there was a picnic tournament in New Plymouth. That was about all that was on. So I don't quite know why there was so little on that weekend. Not much to look at this weekend. Once again, got a bit thin on the ground for tournaments this weekend as well. There is the Waitangi Day Pairs in Auckland on Friday. Havelock North have got a charity tournament. There's a restricted pairs on at Orewa. I'll bet you that Ross Longley's playing in it.
Yeah.
And the Harbour of Picnic Pairs, and that one's been booked out.
Well, I can tell you what, I went down to the drags at Mochiweka. It was a beautiful day down there.
Did you find the Mochiweka Bridge Club?
I did, and I posted it on my Facebook page, which actually is turning into the Bridge Zone page, people. So it's not really about me.
How many friends has the Bridge Zone got on Facebook?
Because I had bugger all because I never did Facebook, people. But right now, across the globe, we have 576 followers. How about that? From all over the globe, Barry. How many did I have when we started?
I think you told me last week it was 485. We nearly got 100 since last week.
E hariakine. Coming up next, Barry discusses the rest of the 10 bridge crimes to avoid. What do you think about this one, Barry? Ignoring the vulnerability.
At your peril. But on the other hand, you know, the trouble is, if you're vulnerable and they're not, well, you know, you've got to be a bit careful because you step out of line and get doubled.
Yeah,
and be all sorts of strife. But on the other hand, if you've got people that aren't vulnerable and they're taking liberties and opening week twos on all sorts of things, and you know, and you're too scared to come in because you're vulnerable overnight, you can get robbed blind. And the next thing you know, they're playing in three hearts, going a couple off, and you're cold for four spades. So, you know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Being too cautious when you're vulnerable can get expensive. You've got a vulnerable game on, and they manage to talk you out of it because you're too scared to come into the auction. You can get a. There's so many ways you can get a bad result in this game.
Yeah, you're right. I want to talk about this one. Forgetting the opening lead. Why is that a crime?
Because it's one of the most important things. It's sort of, in a lot of cases, it basically sets the, you know, the it sets the opponent, it sets your defense. How you're going to defend this hand? What are you going to do? Are you going to try and get a rough? Are you going to try and establish some tricks? Are you going to try and, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to defend this thing? And the opening lead is sort of the opening salvo, isn't it? What partners did? Okay, sometimes partner will make a. You know, they'll make a passive lead because they just don't quite know what to do, and they want to try and not give away a trick on trick one, because we all know trick the opening lead, trick one is the hardest of the 13, I reckon.
Yep.
Trying to get that one right. And so it's really important to remember what partner led.
Okay.
And try and figure out why and what they're leading from.
All right. Now, I think we may have done this one. It was leading away from a king in the slam. Did we do that one?
I think we may have talked about that.
Okay. Well, this is one. We've got the gin man joining us tomorrow. That is Ross Longley. And the gin club, which Richard Solomon writes an article on NZB website, is for junior, intermediate and novice players. Now, this is one that I think we should talk to the gin man about, and that is blocking the suit. Why would that be labeled as number six on the list of 10 crimes you should avoid?
Well, I mean, particularly for no trumps and partners only got a, if they've led from a five card suit and you've only got four of them, and you end up winning the fourth round of the suit,
yeah,
you can't cash the fifth one.
You can't
so you've got to
do
be
it.
careful to you got to be careful basically to play the high cards from the short side, just like when you're declarer. You know, if you've got queen jack to four opposite ace king to four, and you play the ace or the king first and then over to the queen and then the jack, there's no way of getting back over there to that other high honor. You need to play them in the right order. The same thing applies when you're defending.
Yes.
And if anything, it's a bit harder. It's quite easy for the declarer to see what they've got to do. But when you're defending, you don't have the luxury of seeing the other hand. I just want to hark back to one of those you mentioned, by the way, if I can just change the subject back to leading away from a king against slam. It's generally not a great idea. But there are occasions when you just know there's a long, strong suit coming down in dummy. Somebody's bid them, and you know they're going to put down ace, king, queen to six or something, and declarer's going to get rid of all their rubbish on those. If you're ever going to attack, now's the time. You're on a loser to nothing. You need to set up some tricks and quickly, and sometimes under leading a king is your only chance. Because let's face it, if you don't lead them, declarer isn't going to. The only thing you've got going for you against the slam is you've got the opening lead. There are times when you need to be attacking. It's certainly not all the time, but there are times when leading away from king is your best shot.
Right. Okay.
King.
The last one is blaming the card.
That's a really good one. I mean, how often do you say, oh, we never had any cards, you know, all day I never hardly got the bid. And then quite often when you talk to people, if you go and have a look, just quickly run through their cards. They've had heaps of cards. They may not have had all of the cards, but I don't know. They only seem to remember the ones when they didn't, you know? So I'm always very skeptical when they say, oh, we had no cards. Because the other thing is, you know, all the other East West people, all the other people you were competing against, they didn't have any cards either. And some of them scored 65%.
Yeah, so work that out.
They might have got a bit lucky and that the opponents might have done something wrong with their cards. They probably defended quite well as well if they managed a high percentage.
True. I
So,
think interpretation of your hand is number one. And I was actually speaking with two novices, not last week, but the week before, and they came out of the lessons and they just asked me whether it was worthwhile coming back through the lessons. And I said, anything that you do to improve your bridge knowledge and the way that you assess things and play cards is always going to be good. So if you want to come back and do the lesson, so it's like plaque and does it get in? I said, come back.
I think coming and doing the lessons again is, you know, it's, I tell you what, most people that come back and do the lessons find it way easier the second time.
Yeah. And they can
Yeah.
actually remember, oh, that's right, I know that. And they actually feel like some of it actually did get in.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We had a pair that came along to our novice session on Friday, and they hadn't played for 30 years,
Oh,
and they
okay.
were a bit nervous. They're a bit nervous that how they were going to, how they were going to go. Why wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be nervous if you hadn't done
Yeah.
something for 30 years and give it another win? Anyway, they came second. So
Wow.
that was pretty good.
So the bones of it, they still remembered.
That's right. They did okay.
E whaiaki nei. Coming up next, we're off to the courthouse.
The court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge. Here
G'day,
come the
Judge
judge.
Julie. How you going today?
Good. A bit cooler today, which is nice.
Sounds like you were all sweltering up there last night. Pleased it wasn't quite like that down here. We're not talking about the weather.
No, we don't want to talk about the weather. Boring.
Even though that may be authorised information, why don't we segue on to unauthorised information? And as a director, how do you decide what the heck is authorised and what's not authorised?
So we get information about your partner's hand and the opponent's hand through the binning and the card play. We don't really get it through any other source. Unauthorized information is information that you're not entitled to. Normally, it will come from your partner by them doing something wrong or doing some things that they should or shouldn't do in contest. First of all, we have the unauthorized information that comes up from infractions. So you have things where your partner makes a pass out of turn, partner bids out of turn, partner makes an insufficient bid, all of those sorts of things. There are things that you're not allowed to know what partner's got, but the laws actually cover that really, really well in what you do next. And it is clear in the laws, and then it gets into comparable bids. In a normal situation where there's been an infraction, the law book is going to tell you what to do about what happens next. And if you're like me and you don't know left-hand opponent from right-hand opponent, the simple thing is that if you've committed an infraction and you get to bid before your partner does, the penalties are less than if you've bid when your partner should have first. Okay, so when your partner's got unauthorized information. Are we all happy?
Well, yeah, sometimes I find that when you go to the table, I'm not going to say it makes things worse because it shouldn't. Say somebody's opened two no trumps and somebody's tried to overcall two clubs, and you
Yep.
get there and they say, oh, I thought they'd open one no trump. And all of a sudden, there's more information
Yeah,
than,
that's right. I mean, it's like being called for an unintended call and insufficient bids where they've now corrected it. If you do something after something goes wrong, you create more and more problems for your side. Best thing, call the director and sit there and wait. And even if you're the one that's committed the infraction, in some cases, it's better if you call the director. If your side acknowledges that something's gone wrong, then it gets simpler very quickly and you can both stop talking and wait for the director to get there. It's like a revoke. If there's a revoke, you don't touch your cards. You call the director and then the director will look and see. No one should be turning cards up and down and spreading them around the table. And same, if something goes wrong, try not to go, ah, about it. Okay, the look on the face that people have is amazing sometimes. So the idea is that you don't give stuff away. You call a director. A director will deal with it. The less information that is given, the better off everyone is, which is why directors will take you away from the table to talk about comparable bids, about what bid would be the same. And the other one is, if it goes to no trump opener by your partner and the opponent's overcalled two clubs, just call the director. They will take care of it and answer questions, or they have to answer questions about things, right? But one thing really clear, there is no agreement about what an insufficient bid means. If your partner opens to no trump and your opponent overcalls two clubs, you do not know what it is they are thinking about, except that they've overcalled two clubs. Their partner can't know what their partner thought they were doing because it's not sufficient. Did they think it was one no trump? Did they think the opponent opened one spade? Who knows?
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right, so you can ask before you accept the bid, to no trumps, two clubs, right? Before you make a decision, you are entitled to know what the meaning of, say, a two-club bid over one no trump might mean.
Yeah.
Who knows? You seriously just don't know.
Well, there's probably one person that knows.
Yeah, the person who made the bid. So the director gets called. The director's got the law book. They'll look at the laws and they'll say that you can accept or whatever. The person's partner can think what their partner might mean, but they don't know. Unless comments are made across the table, at which point everything becomes a lot harder to deal with.
Yeah.
So the information you are allowed is from your partner's bidding and your partner and your card play. You are not allowed information about partner saying something, looking aghast, looking down at their bid and going in horror, just terrified about what they've just done. All of that is not authorised information. If your opponent looks aghast and things, and they're not allowed to do that deliberately, they're not allowed to play slow to mislead, they're not allowed to take time to think when there's nothing to think about in the card play, those sorts of things. If your opponents do those sorts of things, some of the time you might have a case that you have been misled. Some of the time you just don't know what they're thinking about. And if you make an assumption, you could easily be very wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So if we call the director when things start to go wrong, we take away all of that issue from ourselves and we leave it with the director, and the director will take people away from the table if they can. They will give you your options as well. And although it takes time and that cannot be helped, that is what they're there for.
Yeah.
And if the director gets really lucky, all four people will start talking at the same time when they arrive.
Yeah, well, see, that's the hard thing. Dave Stevens, years ago from Christchurch, he used to count softly. And when they asked what he was doing, he said, the amount I'm going to penalise you if you're not quiet. One of the things if you're directing and people are talking is to either talk softly because they have to stop talking to hear you.
Yeah.
Right. The other way is to tell them, obviously, to tell them to be quiet and deal with one person at a time. If they persist, is to send the people that refuse to listen away from the table temporarily so you can actually find out what's going on. So there's things you can do. But generally, I mean, once people settle down a wee bit, if you talk to them separately, and the more keyed up the situation is, which gets like that with hesitations and other parts of information, the better off that you are perhaps to just say, listen to one person, and if they can't do that, to send one side away from the table, listen to one of them, and then listen to the other separately if you have to. So that you can actually make a choice about what's going on. And I mean, I have said, continue playing, no one's allowed to talk, and then you just stand there because the commentary just doesn't stop.
You know that thing about can't touch anyone else's cards?
Yep.
There was, like you were saying, a revoke at the table, and then one person started turning over cards that belonged to someone else.
Yep.
I was like, no, 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 no.
No, no.
They don't seem to understand. They're really dead keen to explain something to
you. Yes, I know. And that's the problem, is that a lot of the time what happens that is wrong happens out of a desire to give you good information.
Yeah.
Right? Or to get to say what's happened from their point of view, and an overwhelming desire, and it's really hard actually with beginners here, that something's gone wrong and they want it to be fixed, right? With beginners, they know that the contract now isn't making because of a revoke, and they want to be able to have it making, which is what's going to happen, but they don't know how the rulings work.
Right.
So it's really hard to stop that. But with time and education, perhaps one of the things with newsletters about having something about the most common laws, every now and then something going up on the wall or something like that, where you can say, so you lead out a turn, you get five options. You're sitting there, you're trying to think, I'm going to play one note trump and I hate playing it because I'm a beginner and I never make it. And you get this lead out of turn and the director comes along and gives you all of these options and you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So having something up for the common rulings and about what to do, apart from call the director always, is also about a bit of education helps to relax people.
Okay, that's a good tip.
It is. I mean, you just think about it yourself.
Mm.
Even when I call the director for something like I'm deciding what I want to do, it actually gives me time to decide, apart from the fact that the director always should be present. It takes time to decide what you think you want to do or not do.
Even if you're aware of them, you've got these five options. Sometimes you're still not quite sure which one is the best.
That's right. Well, the best hint I've ever had about that is if someone is that tired they don't know whose lead it is, you should accept it. And the other one is if they're that keen to make the lead, you shouldn't. You take your pick.
Right.
That's not helpful.
No. The only other thing I'd say about lead out of tune is I am stunned about how many people think their partner should play the hand when there's a lead out of tune.
Yes. Yep. That's correct.
Mm. So why would you not want to play the hand?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. It is surprising.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's just stunning, actually.
Yeah.
I'd have to have a very good reason for that to happen.
Yeah, to let Jenny play the hand. I like the one where partner opens one heart, the opponents come in and bid one club.
Yeah.
And then they don't accept it. And they say, okay, so then they bid two clubs and then the person goes and bids two spades. And I'm like, why couldn't you accept it and just bid one spade?
Actually, it's really interesting about things like that and some of the insufficient bids with the Roman key card and ace asking, right? Yeah. If you bid four no trumps and partner responds four hearts, do you know what they're saying? Because if they don't know what their partner's saying, don't accept it. Right?
Yeah.
Did partner intend to bid five hearts and just put down the wrong thing or pull out the wrong card, depending on what you're using? Or was partner actually responding to four clubs?
Yeah.
Mm. Or were they just bidding another suit? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes to great effect about what things mean.
Agree.
You know, it can be more confusing for the partner than the opponents.
True. Okie dokie. Well,
okay.
Thank you for that, and we'll catch you next week.
Okay.
We're talking to Judge Julie about unauthorised information and if partner bids out a turn. You got a tip?
I have, actually. So if partner's barred from the auction, for even for one round, that's one round too many, isn't it? If you and your partner have got, I don't know, say you can sort of ascertain from the bidding that you've got more than half the points between you, maybe you're getting somewhere near game, maybe you're not that close. I think if you're going to have a guess at what contract to play in, best guess is, you know, usually I think you probably have a stab at three no trumps. I mean, it might not be right, but at least you're in game. And if you make it, it'll probably score okay. It's a bit tricky sometimes. But I mean, unless you happen to have a seven card major or something, take a stab at three no trumps. You're just hoping to get lucky, aren't you? Partner's going to pass. So you've got to take a bid. It's no use resting up in three clubs or something. Might as well have a go at three no trumps.
Now, is that using the information? So let's say you've got a 10 to 12.
Yep.
So you can't really use the information, but you would have been dead keen a partner opened and you've got a 10 to 12.
But if partner opens and you respond and then partner makes an insufficient bid, the information that your partner opened is still authorized to you, and you've got, say, 10 points. Partner's opened the bidding. You don't know what to do. You don't know whether you've got a fit in a major. You're not too sure what partner was trying to do. Why wouldn't you just bid three no trumps and hope that it was right? You know that you're sort of close. If the information that partner opened is authorized to you. So
Yeah.
you know you've got nearly enough for game if you've got 10 or more points. Have a go at three no's. You might have missed a 4-4 fit in the majors, but that's just too hard to guess.
Okay, that seems fair enough.
It's not guaranteed to work, but what is?
I guess if they've got a long major and you have bid into three no trumps, then they've got an easy bid of themselves, haven't they?
No, absolutely not. They're
Why?
barred. This is the whole point. They're barred from the auction. They're not going to bid. You're going to make a bid, and that's going to be the end of the auction because partner's barred for a
Oh,
round. So that's
right.
the whole point. They're not going to be taking you anywhere else. Three no trumps is an absolute guess.
Okay.
Partner might have opened a heart, and you've only got one of them. They might have seven. You won't find out until the dummy goes down. It'll be too late then.
Now, when you're traveling around, how many bridge clubs do you think you will actually get to?
I don't know. It's a bit of a case of whether my traveling companions are as keen as I am. But
Ah.
if they're not, I might just turn up on my own and hope to find a partner.
Oh, really?
We'll see how we go. Just thinking they probably want to stay in some nice seaside camping ground, whereas I want to stay in one that's close to a bridge club. Anyway, we'll see what happens. So I've had a bit of a look. Nelson, and there's Golden Bay, and there's Motueka, and there's Westport, and there's Greymouth, and Hokitika. They've all got bridge clubs. Whether we can
Yeah.
fit it in or not, whether we're travelling through on the right day, remains to be seen.
We've got a shout out, Barry, to Mike Sinclair,
In
who's,
Michigan.
Michigan, Northport to be at. G'day, Mike.
He's been listening to us for a couple of years. He said he likes to listen to people talking properly. Well, I'm sure there'd be some listeners that would take issue with that. I know there are some people that say they only listen to us because they have a good laugh at the accents. Michigan has twice the population of New Zealand. Would you believe that?
Yeah.
But we have more bridge players.
Thanks a lot, Mike, for listening and spread the word if you can. Anyway, I'm going to task Barry with the task. I took a photo when I was visiting Motueka and I jumped in front of the bridge club. You're going to have to take photos of every bridge club that you actually visit. It doesn't matter if you didn't play or not, but at least let's have a look at what our fellow bridge clubs look
Actually,
like.
that'll be interesting, won't it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll give that a whirl. So we're coming into Picton, and they've got a bridge club there. Whether I can find it to take a photo of another is another thing, but we'll see how we go.
Alrighty then, we'll take care, everybody, and we shall see you at the table.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.